Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 37 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled, The Sons of God. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for today. We thank you for the power of your resurrection, the power of your spirit. Lord God, we do ask and pray that through everything that's happening in life, that our spirits would cut through all of this soulish stuff. Some's good, some's not so good, but nonetheless, we would kind of hold our soul at bay, that we might move in your spirit, that we might have the anointing from the third heaven, that we might have revelation of your Son. So speak to us today, oh God. I ask and pray that Christianity will show off and show out in the power of the Spirit of the living God in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We welcome you this morning, and those that are online, we welcome you also to our School of the Word. And it's with great anticipation that we await for more of the presence of God, that we await for more of the understanding of the power of God's Spirit and who He is. And there is scriptures uses the word inheritance. There is an inheritance. There is more to Christianity than we have experienced to this point. Let me say it like that. And the reason I say that, I'm sure there's not been a Christian on the planet that has exhausted all of what Christianity has to offer. But as we're moving from whoever it is, we want to give them a good run for the money. But we must have the understanding that there is more to Christianity than perhaps we have experienced. And I submit this thought to you that truth is not truth to you until your life equals that definition. Truth is not truth to you until your life equals that definition. We can believe in truth and live in truth. And believing in truth is truth that is yet to be tested. But when we live unto the truth that we believe, then we are a living definition of the truth. And it's not until we are that living definition of the truth that another can receive. The reason being, it's a spiritual phenomena. It's totally a spiritual phenomena. And in the scriptures, it says that we have the demonstration of the Spirit, demonstration of power. And that demonstration is when our life lived is the definition of the truth in which we believe. So we're constantly running into and seeking the truths that God has to offer us. And then we want to live unto that truth. You don't want to live unto people. You want to live the truth. You want to live unto the truth before the people. You don't want to live unto the people, but you want to live unto the truth before people. And then you bring definition to the truth in which you believe, and it is there. It is there that spirit meets the earth. It just so happens that humans are the device in which God has chosen for spiritual things to be manifested into the natural world. So we are that program, if you will. We are that device. We are I guess you could call it a spiritual quantum, is the human spirit. And now, to me, that's very exciting to consider, because we are made up body, soul, and spirit, right? And quantum physics is Trevor could give you a better a doctor could give you a better definition than a dairy farmer, but my understanding of it is quantum is things get so small, and they get smaller and 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 smaller. And there's somewhere in that smaller to smaller to smaller to smaller that this thing turns into spirit. That's the reason the Lord speaks in a still small voice. When it's a still small voice, it's coming from the other side. Can you hear that? So when the Lord speaks, it's coming from the other side as a still small voice. We are the device which causes the spirit world. It goes through us. We're some kind of spiritual quantum processor of some type. And then when we take that truth and our life is a living definition of that truth, then spirit can hit the earth. Is everybody with me on that? I hope so. I'm not quite there, but I think I'm getting it. So for us to consider, you see, we can wait on it to come, or we can live the definition of that truth and it'll come. Now, of course, we got to believe it before we can live it, I guess. We at least need to know it before we can live it. But it's in the living of the definition of the truth that you're not convinced in belief. You're convinced in belief when you live your definition and then you see that it's true. And then as we see that it's true because we've lived our definition, then the human soul becomes convinced. That's the reason the spirit world, we operate out of obedience and we operate out of the leading of the spirit, and we're obedient to the divine impression or the still small voice of God. Then he moves us. Now, it's with that in mind, I want a little introduction this morning. I want us to consider in unlocking the prophetic here. And this one's the sons of God. Now, to be the sons of God, it's in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called," what? "The sons of God." Now, that's a tremendous spiritual terminology there. "Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." You see that? "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Let's go back up there to the first underlined sons of God. Father has bestowed. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now, I took you through a teaching about 3 or 4 weeks ago, how that in the love of God, that the love of God, in the love of God, contains everything of the kingdom. So why do we pursue the love of the Father? To run after things of the kingdom outside of the love of God, you are going to get fake news. Because everything of the kingdom is contained in the authentic love of God. So therefore, we're on a quest, and that quest is the authentic love of God. Now, the reason I bring that up again this morning is so when you're hitting this type scripture, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Now, when you see that terminology, that love in that scripture is the most powerful word in the book. That word love right there. What manner of the most powerful word in the book, love, the Father has bestowed upon us. All of the kingdom is contained within the love of God. Now, as a male, as a farmer, gets dirty, kicks the dirt when we get aggravated, to pursue love doesn't come natural to me. I mean, now I love things, don't get me wrong, I do. But when I say to run after and to understand the love of God, when I make that statement, that pushes about every fiber of my being. I had one fellow was talking about being intimate with God, and I've told Pastor this. I said, Pastor, I don't know that I'm very intimate with God. I'm a warrior for God. I see myself more as a warrior. Now, some people uses the terminology intimate, and I understand that terminology, and I'm okay with it. But that's not my call. Do I love God? I do, with an all reverence, with obedience. I'm waiting for my next assignment. And it's out of that love of God that I have for God, who I am as a more of a... I see myself... Evidently, I'm born out of time, but I see myself as more of a warrior for God. And maybe you don't see yourself that way, but it's fine. And I understand when people say I want to be intimate with God and all that, but it just doesn't fit my spirit. That's not... Now, I love Him the same way you do. Don't want to offend anybody. Love Him the same way you do. But my definition and my call is different. I don't go to bed at night reading the Song of Solomon. I don't do that. I might read Ecclesiastes or something. Solomon wrote it when he was aggravated. But anyway, I'm getting off my task here. Let me get back to where I was. So he said that we should be called the sons of God. Now, when I see that terminology, sons of God, we got to understand that word love contains all of the kingdom of God. So we are running after the love of God. And I promise you, as I'm more enlightened to it, I'll probably be a little more mushy warrior for God. I don't know. Because I told you the story last week when I was interviewing these Christians on the floor in Toronto, and they were shaking and carrying on. Their definition was, well, I said, what's happening? You just don't know how much God loves me. Well, I knew they were having an encounter with love that I wasn't having. I knew that. Now, did I encounter it more before I left? I did. Not that way, but in another way. Now, I've explained that one to you. So I am aware that there's more of, and so this was in a dream, but I'll not go into the dream, but what makes heaven heaven is it's, the atmosphere of heaven is the love of God. So when we walk into heaven, walk into His presence, it's the love of God. So if we want to have the presence in our church services, what's the atmosphere got to be? It's got to be one that's like unto heaven, which is the love of God. Are you with me? And it's that spiritual atmosphere, that love of God atmosphere, that we don't need to sit here and act like we know everything about that, because I promise you we hadn't even touched it good yet. How do I know that? We're all still sitting in our seats. That's how I know. When I was around it just a little bit, didn't nobody remain standing. So if that scares you, I'll just give you a warning. That's where we're headed. Your only hope is we don't get there, because we're running after it. And will it make us all a fool for Jesus? Yeah, more than you are now. It will. And I don't like being, I like to be presentable and all of the above. But when God brings humility in the house, he just brings humility. It's because he loves us. And because of that love of God, he wants to call us and will call us the sons of God. Now, there was one individual in the Bible that was called that. Can anybody tell me who that was? You want to try Jesus? He was called who? The Son of God. Okay, you feeling any identity now? God said, I'm going to call you the sons of God. Why does he call us the sons of God? It's because of our identity in Christ, who is the Son of God. How can he call us the sons of God? Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not. Your identity is with Christ. The truth is, you're a son of God because Christ is in you and he's the Son of God. So I want you to understand, when you see that word love, it's talking about the love that's in heaven right now. It's the presence of God. And when you see sons of God, I want you to understand he's calling you a son of God just like he called Jesus son of God. Is anybody, are you identifying with me now? That's pretty big. Now, I venture to say 95% of us don't feel like that statement right now. I bet you 95% of us don't feel, I mean, we know it, but we don't feel it. Now, how can I feel like I'm a son of God? It's because the only way I can feel it is because I am a true son of God, which is Jesus in me, the hope of glory. And when Jesus lives more and more in me, I get to feel like more and more I'm a son of God, right? Now, keep that in mind as we move forward. Beloved, now are we the sons of God? Doesn't say that you wait to be. So the only thing we've got to do is to come into an understanding. Now, I'm not talking about a head understanding. I'm talking about a spirit understanding here. A spiritual understanding that we are a son of God just as Jesus is the son of God. And so that means for heaven to come to earth like it did through Jesus, God's intentions is that heaven will come to earth through these other sons of God. Is that okay? Now, if we're not up to speed with it yet, it's okay to say we're not up to speed with it, but we know wherein we're headed to discover what it means to experience the love of God in being his son and his daughter. But, beloved, we now are we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be. Now, in that statement, in the Greek, that is a, I don't know the proper terminology, but that thing is moving all the time. It's an ongoing what we shall be. It doesn't yet appear what we shall be. But we are already the sons of God. So since we're already the sons of God, we can see it does not appear yet what will be. Well, I'm not being what I'm going to be yet, but I want to be more like I'm going to be as I move through being. I hope you heard that. In other words, each day of my life, I want to head towards what I'm going to be. You see. And if I head towards what I'm going to be, I'm going to be more like I'm going to be than I was yesterday. That's the reason he says it doesn't yet appear. So don't lock yourself down to past memory. It ain't got nothing to do with what, you're not there yet. I can feel the Holy Ghost all over whatever it is. I'm trying to say something and I don't know what it is. I hope you can hear something that I'm not saying. But we're going to be it. So if you allow your memory to lock you down, just repent of that and throw the lock away and say, well, Alan, I don't want God to embarrass me. Well, get over that one. You probably will. But in the possibility of being embarrassed, you'll be empowered. that lives might be changed. So none of us sitting in here right now, we are not fully appearing how we're going to be. Just say, glory, hallelujah. Aren't you excited? But it also lets me know that even today I can start being more than I was when I walked in the doors. So, Lord, I just pray that you'll help us all to be more of what we're going to be today as we're moving forward and to whom we're going to appear. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. So when He appears, we're going to be in our full being. For we shall see Him as He is. Now, watch it. While it doesn't yet appear what I'm going to be, but when He appears, I'm going to see Him in His fullness. So that means for me to be more who I'm going to be, I get to see more of who He really is. And by me seeing more who Jesus is, it causes me to be more who I'm going to be. So I'm not pursuing who I'm going to be. I'm not pursuing how I'm going to look when I appear. I'm pursuing Jesus. And as I pursue Jesus, you see, we ought to almost fully see Him before He appears. Because I'm looking for Jesus more every day. And every man that hath his hope in Him does what? Purifies himself, even as He is pure. Isn't that something? You see, it's not your actions that purify you. It's your motive. It's your motive. If your motive is to pursue Jesus, then through the power of God's love, you will start appearing as He is appearing to you. In other words, you imitate the Jesus that's been revealed to you. And as you imitate that Jesus that's been revealed to you, you'll start being more who you're going to be. And as your motive is to be more of who you're going to be, even though you're not pure, your motive purifies you. Now, you can't get that at Walmart. Say, Alan, I get it. I got 49 slides to go. Y'all need to get this one. All right, you got her? Now, I want you to get this thing of the sons of God. This is a powerful thing. The sons of God's always pursuing their Father. That's how you know you're a son, is because you're pursuing. That word sons, daughters, it's male, female, doesn't make any difference. Because we're pursuing Him. Now, here's what happens. As we are being more of who we're going to be, that means we're walking in sonship. Sonship is somebody who's seeking the Father, and the sonship is the path to inheritance. So everything the Father's going to give the sons and the daughters has nothing to do with your actions. It has everything to do with what the Father owns. And it's because of His love, He wants you to inherit it. And the more you become like the Son and the more you start becoming who you're going to be, He can trust you with more of the inheritance. All right? Worst thing you can do is to give a child a part of an inheritance before time. Right? So as we are being more who we're going to be, then we start inheriting more of what we're going to inherit. It says this in Romans 8:14. Look at it. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are who? The sons of God. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are who? Children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. How many people see that? Can you get to the glory without the suffering? No. That's another topic. But still, suffering comes before the glory. So we can see through this verse that we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Now we understand Christ in us is the reason that we can be authentic sons and daughters of God. Now, that's the pathway. So we can see here that as we start being more of who we're going to be by the power of the love of God, that then he will cause us to start inheriting. Now, I submit to you this thought. You judge it. It's okay. I believe, and I'm somewhat persuaded, that I don't want to say all because that's not true, but a lot of churches, whether they be in homes or in buildings or two or three together, I don't care. I believe that we're poorer than we should be. I think we're trying to do big things without some of our inheritance to spiritually finance it. So therefore, the worst thing you can do is to go to market with a product and not be able to produce the product. I submit to you, we need to recheck on whom we're chasing. Are we chasing after Jesus so that we might receive and inherit? Listen, just because you haven't received it doesn't mean it's not there. The Bible says it's there. I stand before you, don't think I've got near all of it. Maybe 2% of my inheritance that's all out there for us. I got a feeling if I had received more of this inheritance now, that the church of Jesus Christ could be more empowered than it is. You see, we all know it's the truth. How many of you in here believe God can do anything he wants to? Do you really believe that? Now, that's the truth, isn't it? That's just a truth you cannot escape. We are convinced that God can do anything that he wants to. Now, do you think that he wants to save the world? I think so. We've been declaring on Wednesday night that Christianity is going to double in 2018. Do you think that God's heart would be that Christianity would double in 2018? Okay, God's heart then is not what's stopping us, right? We know it's God's heart. So God's heart's not stopping. God's will, there's no need praying about it being God's will. Y'all have already said it was. Point being, could it be that the body of Christ, the sons and daughters of God, could it be that we really are, I'm not playing with words here and I'm not playing with your mind, could it be that we really are those agents in which the love of God is spoken to this earth? Listen, if we really believed that with all of our hearts, we'd all be in one huddle in the middle hugging each other because we were so excited, we loved each other so much and we loved God so much we just couldn't stand it to see what God's going to do next. Can you hear me? Just consider what I say. Now, this is another scripture here. True sonship brings favor with God. You see here? And man, Luke 2:52. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. That's pretty plain. No interpretation needed. That's what it says. And Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, and in favor. You say, yeah, Alan, but that was Jesus. Yeah, but he was the Son of God, and we're the sons of God. Right? I've already proven you that one. You've already said yes to it. We're to grow in wisdom and stature and favor. Now, you can say God's equal with all mankind all you want to. No, God's got favorites. God shows favor. And not only favor with God, but with man also. That's what the book says. That comes being the Son of God. You got favor. So don't run around asking for favor. Run around and say, God, I need favor right here. God, would you show me favor in this? God, would you show me favor in that? I know we can have false humility and say, well, God, I don't need to have favor. I just need to suffer like everybody else. Listen, I'm getting enough suffering. I'm going to pray for favor. Why? Because I'm the Son of God. Now I'm leading somewhere with all this. The true sonship entitles us to kingdom, authority, and power. Say, yeah, Alan, we've tried that one before. Yeah, we maybe have tried it before, but I'm not sure we're being what we're supposed to be before we try it. All the people were amazed and said to each other, what words these are. With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits and they come out. Now, isn't that something? Has anybody ever tried that one? Listen, I got just enough booger in me to get it about halfway out and it'd eat my head off. I don't know how much power you got. I've tried it a time or two. I was in Honduras and called one out and it came out and we didn't no more know what to do with that booger than it about eat up three or four people. We finally put the person in a room with another one or two and we never did get it out. Finally just had to try to get it calmed down. Now, I can call them out. You can probably call them out. You ever called one out of each other just because of your attitude? Yeah, you'll get more than you can handle, won't you? Now, let's move on. That's another day. Now, true sonship does this. It gives us access to God's presence, wisdom, and anointing. Now, this is all in sonship. Jesus gave them this answer. Verily, truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Now, let's go back to our other scripture. It is yet to appear to us what we're going to be. Right? So it's in our being. It's because we're trying to be what we're going to be so we can get into what we're going to be. Here, when we run after Jesus, what we're going to be doing is what we see the Father doing. See, it's important that we hook up with what the Father's doing when we're being what we're going to be. And if you're going to be what you're going to be, which is running after Jesus, you're going to see what the Father's doing. Are you with me? That's one thing just to do something out of religion, and there's another one to do it out of the leading of the Spirit. Y'all have all done enough of that to you can kind of tell the difference. You've done it enough wrong that you kind of feel what right is. Now, so we can see here that the presence, wisdom, and anointing comes because we are in tune with what the Father's doing. So we can see that if we're going to run after the Father, it's important that we're in tune with what the Father's doing. It's not just because it hits your brain and you, listen, the worst thing you can do is pray something for somebody that you think they need. That's usually out of the soul. That's right. If you think they need something, you go give it to them. Right? And that's okay. That's all right to do that. But there's another thing to pray what you hear the Father saying that they need. And he says they need, not what you think they need. I mean, if you think they need some groceries, then you just go do it. Don't pray for them to get groceries. Go get them groceries. All right? Now, let's move on. I got to move. All right. True sonship gives us new identity. Okay, this is where you got to let go of your old self a little bit. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. So as I am Since I don't know how I'm going to appear, and I don't know how I'm going to be, I'm going to run after who I'm going to be, which is this new creation. So what am I running after? My new creation. Now, there's one thing about running after who you're going to be, is you're running away at the same time from who you were. Right? You don't drag with you who you were with who you're going to be. That means you didn't go anywhere. You got to leave before you can go. Right? Because if you don't leave before you go, you're really not going. So to be who we're going to be, we got to go and leave so we can be who we're going to be, which is this new creation. I think I've been around the raid too long. I forgot. Amen, Jesus' name. Now, the reward of mercy and not wrath. As a son of God, we have to understand that we are now receiving a reward of mercy. We are sifted from not being a people of being the to the, being the people of God, not obtaining mercy to obtaining it. See, you didn't know being sons of God had so much wrapped up in it. You didn't used to get the mercy of God. But as a son of God, daughter of God, you have now obtained mercy from God. You don't have to wonder. Say, well, God's going to get me. No, God's giving you mercy. Now get over it. Quit doing it. You're in mercy. 1 Peter says this, which in times past you were not a people, but are now. Say, but are now. But are now. The people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I don't have to say that anymore, do I? I think you're getting mercy. What you are experiencing right now, you might think you're having a bad day, but you're having a bad day with God's mercy. Take God's mercy out of your bad day and see how bad your bad day is. You're going to really have a bad day. There's one thing to have a bad day, and there's another one to have a bad day with a bad attitude. Get rid of the bad attitude, and you'll have mercy in your bad day. Now, we are delivered from the power of darkness as being the sons of God and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son and from darkness into His marvelous light. Being a son of God means this. Our average day, we are to be walking in the light. Now, just a little side note. You can't be listening and looking at all things of darkness and be in the light. You're going to hinder it. So if you want this, I'm just submitting to us, and me too. Is there more light? Now, this is part of your inheritance. Is there more light for me to experience than I'm experiencing? I got a feeling there's more light for me to experience than I'm experiencing. And why? Because I've been delivered from the power of darkness. Does anybody know what the word translated means? Means you were here and now you're there. I've had two times in my life that I think that I was physically translated. I was on a 7-hour trip and got there in 3.5 hours. I wasn't going to make the meeting and I got there. I got one guy with me I would use as a reference, but that ain't going to help me. His name was Doug Mayberry, and you ain't nobody going to believe Doug anyway. So I'll not use him as a reference. 3.5 hours we were there. Happened to me twice, going to the same destination. Now, I've asked for it at other times. It didn't ever happen. When it happened, it happened. And then I looked back. I said, what happened? It happened. And then you see, Jesus tends to do that. God's Holy Spirit tends to do that. When Jesus did miracles, He'd take the disciples and they go back to the mountain. They'd make them a fire. And they say, Jesus, what meaneth this? When you raised the dead and you fed the dead, what meaneth this? You see, what we're looking for is the presence of God. We're in here worshiping, and miracles are happening everywhere. Then you come up and say, God just did this to me. What meaneth this? Are you with me? You see, we're not looking for one person to have an anointing to give to you. We're not looking for that. Now, can that happen from time? It can happen from time to time. But that's not the model. The model is the presence of God's in the house. We're worshiping God. Jesus goes around in His Holy Spirit and does what He wants to do. Convicts of sin, heals, gives hope, issues whatever wants to happen. Once in a while, does He do something prophetically? Yes. But what we're looking for is the day people run up because God's touched them. Because the Spirit of God chooses to touch them the way the Spirit of God wants. See, we don't want to sidetrack it with people looking at a person. Are you with me? That's the reason there's nobody here super spiritual. That is not what we're going for. We're not trying to draw attention to one person. Well, yeah, we are, but His name's Jesus. Right? His name's Jesus. Now, we're really sincere about this. Really, really, really sincere. About Jesus Christ alone. That's the reason we don't brag on each other much around here to try to encourage you. We don't do much bragging. And it's not because we don't love you and wouldn't like to. We just don't want to hinder the Spirit and get man elevated. We'll maybe go out in the parking lot and say you've done a good job. But you know what I'm saying. We get together in here. We want to try to keep this thing as focused as we can on Jesus Christ, God's presence in the house. And if God's Holy Spirit wants to do anything, we're totally open to the Holy Spirit to do anything. Anytime the Holy Spirit wants to do it, and if you come tell us the Holy Spirit touched you, we're going to believe you. Because we know we haven't coerced anything. It's just that the Holy Ghost of God has been turned loose in this house. Listen, come on. Who are any of us to think that we know the needs of everybody? We don't know. But God's Spirit knows. He knows. And He's the only one that can do anything anyway. So why not at least let's give Him full reign, give Him full honor. The reason we're here is not to hear a good preaching or teaching anyway. The reason we're here is because we're the sons of God and daughters of God. We want to get together and celebrate Jesus Christ as our Lord and God our Father. That's the reason we get together. So we don't want to sidetrack that. What happens is when you don't have the presence of God, you have to put on a pretty good show to keep people interested. We don't want no show. We want God's presence and His kingdom in this place. Y'all, whether we see it or not, I don't know. But I want you to know our motive and as leaders in this church what we're after. So you'll know why we behave like we behave. That's what we're after. It's not too complicated, trust me. So don't be offended if we don't brag on you a whole lot and all that stuff. We'll hug you and just hug each other. And let's love each other. But we're here for one reason and one reason only, that we might be translated into the God's kingdom. We're being translated from darkness into light. Now, none of us are saying that we know how it's done. I'm not telling you that I know how we invoke the presence of God in this house in a tangible way that the congregation all knows that He's working and moving to convict sin and to heal sickness and to deliver demons and to do all this stuff. And if God uses individuals to do that at times, that's fine, but don't you dare give that individual any attention. Okay? Are you with me? If God wants to use somebody, that's okay. But talk about what God's done. Because if you set anybody up as a superhero around here, we'll have to set them down. Because nobody's going to upstage God and His Spirit and His Son. We're just not going to do it. If we know it, that's not our intentions. So as we're moving on through in Colossians, it says this, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Anybody want to say glory right there? Delivered us from the power of darkness. Listen, you might not think that you'd have been that bad. God hadn't have saved you when you did. You don't know how bad you would have been. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated, there it is again, translated us into the kingdom of what? His dear Son. Now, please get in touch with this one statement. God is the one that does the translating. God's the one that delivered you out of darkness. God's the one that's translated you into His kingdom. You haven't died physically yet, but you're already in heaven. That's God's kingdom. God, how do I know all of y'all sitting in here in heavenly places? Because God's Word said that He translated you out of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. So, if that statement's true and I'm not feeling like that's happened to me, that just means I'm not in touch with the truth. Anybody get that? Do you believe that's true? Now, what you're running after is that definition. If God's delivered us from darkness, quit messing with darkness. You got to leave or you can go. And He's translated and hath translated us. God has translated us into the kingdom of His Son. Now, where I'm headed with all of this is we're wanting the kingdom here. And until you realize where you are and start accessing where you are, one person can't bring all of the kingdom into new life that God's got for it. It takes all of us because we're His body. If one or two tries to bring the kingdom in, everybody else is going the other way. Guess what? One person can't bring it in here and convince 100. 100's got to be convinced and then it comes in. Because we're His body. God's Spirit comes because His body's calling for it to come in a corporate manner. And it's that love and it's that unity of the power of the Spirit of God. Listen, y'all. You've been translated further than you have seen. What I'm praying is that you will be able to see more of where the countryside of where God has translated you to. We are supposed to be a peculiar people. Why? It's because we see the territory in which we've been translated. And it's love of the Father. Don't think in any stretch of your imagination when you die and wake up that heaven's going to look like here. Because it's not. But I do believe it can look a lot like new life if we call for this kingdom to come to this place. For it to come this morning, you've got to see that you're a son and a daughter of God. With that, you have an inheritance. With that, you won't have fully be who you're going to be until He appears. But He will start appearing to you more as you're going forward into being who you're going to be. You'll get more of a glimpse of who He is. And how do you get a glimpse of who He is? It's because He's in your heart. You start feeling like Jesus feels. You start seeing like Jesus sees. And it's because of that kingdom. Now listen, y'all, 100 years from now, we'll all be in heaven together. I'm going to go to every one of you and say, I told you so. I told you. This is His kingdom. And it's my prayer 100 years from now when we're all in heaven around the throne of God that we can say, boy, we had this down there, didn't we? The kingdom touched the earth on our watch. Could you imagine trying to go through life without His kingdom in our life, without the excitement of God doing anything that He might want to do at any given time? We cannot come before you and even fathom of what God might do in this service today. What if we'll let God be God? We'll be His children. We'll be the sons and the daughters of God. And Lord Jesus, I pray right now that we'll start being more of who we're going to be. I pray right now, oh God, that You'll give us the revelation. Let us run towards who we're going to appear to be. Dear God, I am very thankful for the state that we find ourselves in right now. But dear God, we're not at all satisfied. We're not at all satisfied, oh God. We ask and pray in Jesus' name.